Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 89. It is Thursday, June 14th, and I'm sitting on my porch. It's a beautiful day. We have just been having some gorgeous weather. I'm afraid you are going to hear some truck noise on and off. There's some stuff going on next door. They're having some trees cut down and some roof work done and all manner of things. And I came out this morning, they were listening to rock and roll music roll out, and part of me is like, I want to sit on my porch and have peace. But part of me is like, you know, I know that if I were doing that kind of work, I would want to be listening to rock and roll music too. And I would not want to take away anyone's pleasure or energy by going over and saying, it's too loud. So of course I did not. Anyway, I do hope you can hear the birds here on this beautiful day. It's like 75 degrees right now. And in a little bit, I will be taking Jack over to the haircut place, the cheap haircut. I don't even know what it's called. Cheap haircut place, where a haircut is $13, because he stopped going to our person, Brooke, who's wonderful and does a great job, but he didn't feel like Brooke listened to him. And you know, I love Brooke. She doesn't always listen. You have to like have pictures with Brooke. She gets ideas in her head. So he's been doing the cheap haircut for a couple sessions now, and you know, it's fine. It's fine. In fact, the last cut he got was very nice, and it was much shorter than I thought it would be. And the man is trying to convince Jack he needs to cut his hair short. His hair is fairly long, shaggy and long. I mean, it's not like down to his shoulders long, but he's been wearing it longer. And my feeling is it's his hair. I want it to be neat and trimmed up, and I don't want his bangs in his face. But if he wants to wear it longer, even though he does look really cute with it short, it doesn't look bad long either. He has really nice hair. Then that's his business. And so what I find sometimes when you do that, just say, hey, it's up to you. They end up doing more what you want them to anyway. So we are going over there. And it's fun, too, because the cheap haircut place is by the Barnes & Noble. So I just give him money to pay, which he likes, because, you know, he's Mr. Independent. So it's like, here's $20, and you need to leave a 20% tip, unless they really mess it up, and then just leave a 10%. And then Will and I go over and hang out in Barnes & Noble until Jack is done, and Jack meets us over there. So it's kind of actually fun as opposed to me and Will sitting and waiting for Jack to get his hair cut or for all of, you know. So it's actually be a nice thing. I think we're going to go in Barnes & Noble, try to find some good Father's Day stuff. We've already got some t-shirts and a hat and some things that the man specifically asked for. We will be in Atlanta for Father's Day. I think I mentioned that maybe my last episode, that we are going down to see my brother, my older brother, and his wife and daughter, and it should be a good visit. We're going to go to the aquarium, we're going to a Braves game, and hanging out. So I'm sorry to my Atlanta peeps, Quilt and Jenny and Pam, I'm sorry I'm not going to be able to see you. I think I said that last week, but I am so sorry. I'm going to say it again. I am sorry, but it will be nice to take this visit, and I'm just scrambling around today trying to get ready. We are supposed to hit the road at 10. My family is not known for leaving on time, but we need to practice this because next week, or a week from Sunday, we are going to Ocracoke, and we have a ferry to catch, so we can't be dilly-dallying. That's no fun to be driving like, oh my goodness, what if we miss the ferry? So this tomorrow will be good practice for getting up and getting the dog to the kennel and getting out. Oh, I hate to leave Travis behind. He's sitting here with me, looking very nice, as always. The garden is beautiful. We are already starting to get the little sun gold cherry tomatoes, which are like candy. It's like you just go out there and you just pluck them off and you eat them. A lot of times they don't even make it into the house. Tons of tomatoes. We've had a lot of rain. And we don't have any tomatoes ripe yet. I think they're going to really come to fruition when we're at Ocracoke. Oh, but it'll be nice for our next door neighbors, John and Shireen, because they will come over and pick for us. But the tomato plants are 8 feet tall. They're just outrageous. I don't know what's going to happen to them. And I'll be curious to see how the fruit is, how the tomatoes themselves are, because you just think, wow, can this be right? Can you really get good tomatoes off these giant tomato plants? But I suppose so. I hope so. So everything in the garden looks well. We've been eating the skinny green beans, the haricot verts. I think that's how you say it. And they're really good. I eat those raw. Will doesn't like them raw. He says they're too furry. But I've been freezing them too. The plants have produced so much, so I've been, and we'll eat green beans. We're trying to eat stuff when it's in season, and so we'll eat a lot of green beans this summer and limas and other things that we're growing. But we can't eat that much, so we're freezing a lot. So through the winter months, we will have beans. Yay! Quilting news. Well, I do have a bit of quilting psychology. I was talking about that last week. Quilting psychology. And being interested in that notion, but not having a good way to think about it. But then this week I thought of something. I'm working on Rick's Star Quilt. I'll post a picture so you can see my progress. I am making progress. I've done some good work this week. Things are settling down. And here's something. My friend Danielle just said this to me. And Danielle often pegs zeitgeist sort of stuff. But we were talking yesterday and she was like, I just can't get caught up this year. And I knew exactly what she meant. I have felt that way all year. Like, I just can't get it all done. And, I make my list and I try to get organized. And it's not like I'm letting things fall to the wayside. I am getting done what I need to get done. And at the same time, I'm always just like, there's just one thing piling on top of another. It's very strange. Rick Star Quilt. So I'm making progress. And I feel like not that I should, they're not rules about this, but I'm surprised that I'm not further along, but that happens. But I have been this week particularly, it's been a fairly easygoing week. I did have a root canal on Tuesday. It was fine. Although I have to tell you, man, he told me, this is the first time I've seen this guy, my endodontist, and I liked him. He was either Indian or Pakistani, but clearly went to British schools or perhaps was from Britain, lovely, beautiful, very posh accent, and he was very kind. Anyway, and he told me, he said, you need to expect to be taking ibuprofen for a couple days because you will feel pain, and I have. It's just now, so it's Thursday, so it's been 48 hours, and I'm just, there's still pain, but it's not like it was yesterday. Anyway, so that'll get in your way. But that's the weird thing about modern dentistry. It doesn't really get in your way, even when you have pain. And this is the kind of pain that, it's painful, it's sensitive, but I'd rather have this than, say, a headache or cramps or, stuff like that, which I just find almost intolerable. So, but other than that, and my appointment with the orthodontist Monday, still can't decide about braces, still pondering. It's been a fairly easygoing week and not much going on, so I have been able to work, and I really kind of put the pedal to the metal. And here's an interesting thing. I had my Bible study, which Rick leads, on Tuesday night, and we just have three more classes, and then I think we're going to do a dinner. I think we're going to have a dinner over here. But still, I'm like, oh my goodness, I really don't have much time, and I started getting panicky about it. Now, here's the thing. If I decided I'm just going to take a weekend and get these blocks done, I could do it. At this point, I would say I probably have 15 more. They're very easy to construct. They're not time-consuming. It's really just putting in the time. But thinking of sort of my psychological reaction really was panic. And partly we'll be at Ocracoke for a week, and I'm not going to bring my sewing machine. I don't tend to get any kind of craft, knitting, sewing, anything done at the beach. Because, by the time, you're just kind of, you're either living life fully in the wild, at the beach, riding bikes, what have you, or you're napping. There's no kind of sitting around at home going, I've got some free time and lots of energy. It just doesn't work that way at the beach for me. So I was like, wow, so I really don't have much time to finish this. And I really felt like this has to be your number one priority. Everything else goes to the wayside. Don't worry about cleaning. Whoops. Sorry, there's a truck. Hold on, I'm going to pause. Okay, I think the big truck noises are over, although it's still in motion. Anyway, so no time for cleaning, no time for cooking, nothing. I have to get this quilt done. And, it made me laugh when I thought about it. I was like, first of all, Rick doesn't know I'm making this quilt. No one in the group knows I'm making this quilt. The only person besides y'all who knows that I'm making this quilt is the man. And if I never got it done, I don't think he would ever say, what about that quilt you were making for Rick? I think it's totally off his radar as well. So why do I feel this pressure. I mean, it's totally internal. And, you know, it's interesting to think about. I mean, obviously, it's like, it would be really neat if it were done for our last session, or if we have dinner over here, if that ends up being our sort of last session. It would be really nice to have it done then and sort of make a presentation, even though this group is going to continue in the fall. So I could always finish it and give it to him in the beginning of the fall, which is a nice time to give somebody a quilt. But it's kind of good, I think, to have internal pressure, because we do let our lives get in the way of the important things, like, well, quilting, eating chocolate, what have you. It's not a bad thing, but it's so funny when you think how possible it is to get anxious, or, I don't know, I guess anxious was probably the best word for it, about these kind of projects, and they're totally voluntary. I don't know if any of you are quilting under the law. You know, there's something, there's a this is what the judge sentenced you to after that crime you committed, making quilts. I'm sure some of you do quilt for money, or law. I know that there's some long armors who listen, and so you do have some real pressure. But for most of us, for all of us, when we're quilting for ourselves, it's all internal. I guess there's the real pressure if you are making a quilt for a Christmas present and you've already spent like $100 on fabric. So, and you can say, well, if I don't finish it, it's okay. But then you have to go out and buy another present, right? And so, I mean, that's a real pressure, really wanting to finish something for a special occasion. But it is all voluntary. They're not going to take us out and put us against the wall and shoot us if we don't finish these projects. And yet they feel it can get stressful. I don't think that the quilting should be stressful. So that's a bit of quilt psychology. I was thinking about the kind of internal pressure that many of us feel when we're making quilts for other people, even when those people don't know we're making those quilts for them. We'll not miss the quilts if we don't present them, because they don't know the quilts exist. They really don't. Still, but as I said, I think that pressure has some use, because there are a lot of us, including myself, who could dilly-dally around for a long time, and I certainly, you know, if I had a little pressure to finish hand-quilting the Hidden Stars quilt, it would be done by now. A little pressure might be useful in that situation. A little pressure to finish quilting the Hexagon Garden quilt, which would not take long, and now is not going to happen until I finish the Star quilt, I think. You know, but if I had some pressure, if I felt like, oh, I really need to have it done by this date, then I would, you know, make some more time for it. So it's not a bad thing to have a little pressure, but it is funny when you step back and go, this is volunteer work. No one's holding guns to our heads saying, make quilt, finish that quilt. But sometimes, well, that would be a little extreme and violent and radical for me. But sometimes a little pressure self-imposed is not a bad thing. So there's some quilting psychology for you. See, I knew an example would come to me, and there may be many, many more examples in the future. So that is what I've been doing, working on Rick's quilt. Like I said, I think I have about 15 more blocks. These are small blocks, 8 or 9 inch blocks, very easy to construct. I have been watching, you know what I've been watching? Sure, I've mentioned this before, but since I've gotten more into the series, From Lark Rise to Candleford. Have you watched this? So it's a BBC production. It's 4 seasons long. And apparently the BBC just decided to cut it off to much protest and outrage. And so I was reading something that said, you know, that's one of the hard things is that it's wonderful and you're so caught up in the stories, and then just stops. So it's not like there's a special final episode where Bob Newhart wakes up and there's Suzanne Plachet next to him in bed. You know, there's no sense of closure. That is the most brilliant TV ending in the world ever in history, by the way. But we all know that. So there's none of that. And so I'm bracing myself because I've just finished the 3rd season. And so I only have a couple discs left to watch. I'm doing this through Netflix. It's one you can only get it through the mail. But it's quite wonderful. I wasn't immediately taken by it. I liked it fine. But it felt a little bit unreal. I mean, all these things do. They all feel unreal, of course. But it felt kind of exceptionally unreal. And, there's lots of lessons to be learned. But at the same time, you know, it's quite lovely and entertaining. And I've really, really enjoyed watching that. That's been my big thing that I've been watching as I'm quilting. I also got from the library last week. It's a wonderful set of BBC productions of Jane Austen's Persuasion, Sense and Sensibility, which I have to say I prefer to Emma Thompson's Sense and Sensibility, although I like her very much. Is it Thompson? I think so. But you know, the wonderful Emma, the wonderful UK Emma with the brown hair and the brown eyes, who we adore. And she, the Hollywood Sense and Sensibility, she did. She wrote the screenplay and did a wonderful job. But it's like Hugh Grant, no, he did not. That was not good. But this one, the guy who plays, see, I'm never going to be able to do all the names, but the male lead, the Hugh Grant character, is played by the actor who plays Matthew in Downton Abbey, and he's quite wonderful and much more appealing than the his interpretation of that character is Edward. Edward is that character. His Edward is just much more appealing than Hugh Grant's Edward. So that was, I've seen that a couple times now. I really enjoyed it. And also there's a special bonus thing on this disc, which is Miss Austen Regrets. And it's a movie, a BBC production that is based on Jane Austen's letters. And it is, so it's basically a biopic, and it's heartbreaking and wonderful. So if you ever have a chance to see that, if you're a Jane Austen type person, I would highly recommend that. I am behind listening to podcasts, I think mostly because I've gotten caught up in my lark rise to Candleford. So that is something I really look forward to. July 5th. I always have these dates in mind. Like, this is where life's going to settle down, but life is going to settle down, you know, if nothing crazy happens. July 5th, we will be back from the beach. We'll have done the July 4th rigmarole. We'll go to Daniil's house, which we do every year with our other friends, Amy and Bill and their kids, and then Daniil and Chris and their kids. And we've celebrated the 4th of July together for years and years and years and years. I met Amy, Bill, Chris, and Daniil. I met them along with the man. I didn't meet the man. The man and I met them at our prepared childbirth class, which is now close to 14 years ago, 13 and a half years ago. And we've been friends ever since. And we've been doing July 4th together for a long time. It's really nice to have a set July 4th date. It really is. So once that's over, I feel like July 5th is when summer, in a way, really kicks in. The boys will have a couple camps. Jack's going to do a computer camp, and Will's going to do a basketball camp, and Jack's going to do drama camp, and we'll do one more baseball camp. He's got a baseball camp next week as well before we go to the beach, and that's nice. I mean, it's good to have those things. But as for me, my dears, I will be writing, and I will be making quilts and waiting for the summer to because it's not going to stay like this for the rest of the summer. It's not going to be this amazing thing where it's almost 2 and I'm sitting on the porch and it feels beautiful. That, my friends, will not happen. But I'm looking forward to that period, and I hope to get lots of work done. It really makes a difference not having to drop everything at 2:35. To go pick up Will, and then to, you know, bring Will home, and I go pick up Jack at 3:20, and that, when that whole part of my day gets all chopped up, it's very, I don't know, it just makes it hard. It doesn't make anything hard. It's perfectly easy to do that. But there's something about having this really long chunk of an afternoon, which is both wonderful and at some point in the summer becomes oppressive because it gets really hot, and our house is kind of dark and stays very cool because of that, but I don't know. I'm just going on. But I do hope that by that, you know, just to have a lot of time to do the work that I want to do and not travel anywhere for a while. It's possible we'll go someplace in August. I don't know. But I'm happy about the traveling we have coming up. That is for sure. So this is kind of rambly because that's about what I have to say. I'm trying to think. I am reading a couple books right now. I just picked up oh my goodness, it's right over here. It's the new Tom Perrotta, The Leftovers. Have you read him? He wrote Little Children, Election, all these wonderful books where movies were made. Election's a wonderful movie with Reese Witherspoon, whatever her name is. And Leftovers with Kate Winslet. Little Children. And, I can't remember the name of his last book. It was about sex, The Abstinence Teacher. Not about sex, but about sex education. Which I've read that. I read it once. I think I listened to it on audiobook once. He's one of those writers that writes about the times that we live in. And if you happen to be sort of middle class, upper middle class, suburban, white person, there's a lot you'll recognize about yourself and your community in his books. And The Leftovers starts right after the rapture. It's interesting. He was on Terry Gross. The book just came out in paperback, so they repeated the interview on Fresh Air that he did. They repeated it, I think, just in the last week. And he himself is not a believer. He's a skeptic. But the abstinence teacher, one of the main characters, becomes a born-again, very serious evangelical Christian. By the end, he's rethinking it, but that's the shape his life has taken. And the author, Tom Perata, had spent a lot of time researching evangelical Christianity. And so I guess he just, speaking of leftovers, had some leftover research about the rapture. So when the book begins, and I'm really just about 40 pages into it, a lot of people, millions of people have just disappeared because the rapture has come. And what's upsetting to many of the people left behind is a lot of people left behind are actually evangelical Christians. And a lot of people who are raptured up were, you know, included atheists and agnostics and Jews and Hindus and Catholics, people who were not supposed to make the cut. So it's very fun. And again, he always is an astute commentator on contemporary culture and mores. So I'm enjoying it. I've just started it, but I'm definitely enjoying it. And then I got I'm reading several books. As I'm apt to do, I'm reading a book called Marilyn Robinson, who wrote The Wonderful Gilead. This is a collection of essays called When I Was a Child, I Read Book. When I Was a Child, I Read Books. And she's, I had picked up her earlier collection of essays, The Death of Adam. She's quite a scholar and an erudite type thinker. And I got this out of the library, just sort of thinking maybe I would skim it. I didn't know if I would be engaged by it because The Death of Adam was hard to penetrate. But this is quite wonderful. And, I mean, it's about all kinds of things. There's chapters include The Human Spirit and The Good Society, When I Was a Child, Open Thy Hand Wide, Imagination and Community, Freedom of Thought, very, very interesting. I'm enjoying that a good deal. And a book that I actually bought, which was called On Celestial Music and Other Adventures in Listening by Rick Moody, whose fiction I have not read. Although this is a collection of essays, long essays, about music. And he is close to my age. He's a few years older. There have been a number of movies based on his books. Let's see. Garden State, The Ice Storm. Those are two of his novels that have been made into movies. He's got a number of short fiction collections, etc. So, but I've seen those movies, but I've not read his novels. I might now. But so titles in this include Five Songs by Wilco, On Meredith Monk. If you listen to On Being with Krista Tippett, with your host Krista Tippett, used to be Speaking of Faith, she did a piece on Meredith Monk, I guess earlier this spring, and Meredith Monk is a very experimental vocalist, very minimal. She's a minimalist, and it's wild stuff, but I have to tell you, I love it. So I love Wilco too, so I was like, ooh, Meredith Monk and Wilco, and a very long piece on Pete Townsend, and I was, certainly was a Who fan. They're not a band that I have carried with me into adulthood, but I certainly was a Who fan at one point, and was a long time Pete Townsend fan, and he talks about the Pete Townsend unhappiness when he was was found to have accessed child porn sites at some point during a big I can't remember what you would call it, sort of an FBI. It wasn't FBI because it was in Britain, but their version of the FBI did a big investigation. And he was later cleared. And the suggestion is that he says he was doing research. He was doing some research and that he was sexually abused as a child, which is all very sad. Perhaps not really fodder for a quilting podcast. I won't go into it. I won't go into the recent trials that we're having to endure on TV. And if you have a child who watches a lot of ESPN Sports Center, it's problematic. But anyway, but it was a very serious Pete Townsend fan for a long time and always really liked him a lot. So that's interesting. So I'm enjoying that quite a bit. And it's interesting, too. It is paperback, and it was reviewed in the New York Times. And for a long time, the New York Times would not review paperback books. And apparently, now they will. Maybe they're written by Rick Moody. So, and I like his style. He's not... It's like reading this, I wish these essays were actually by David Foster Wallace on the exact same subjects, expressing the exact same thoughts. That would be fine by me. He's not the essayist that David Foster Wallace was, and who I miss very much, David Foster Wallace, that is. But he's a good writer, and he's interesting, and I feel like he has a lot of the same musical taste and interests that I do. So I'm enjoying that. And I am in the process of collecting books to take with me to the beach. I just put on hold, oh gosh, I'm not going to be able to say this, Colm Toibin, who is the Irish writer. He actually lives in the States now, but who wrote Brooklyn, which I talked about earlier this year, or maybe late last fall, which I read and loved. And he has a novel that actually was published before Brooklyn called The Master about Henry James. And that's supposed to be very wonderful as well. So I've got that. I've got some books about African-American history. I've got a book, Grail Marcus's The Old Weird America, which is kind of that Bob Dylan making the basement tapes. But it's really a lot about American culture during a particular, in the late 60s, about folk culture and how the strangeness of America and folk culture and all the different threads not really the word I'm looking for, but the way that it's all woven together out of really interesting and diverse roots. I'm not articulating this well at all, but I'm looking forward to reading the book, and I will go, and the boys and I will go down to our main library sometime next week and just get handfuls, bucketfuls, barrelfuls of books to bring with us. So who knows what I'll just pick up then. But I'll have to pay the fines on the boys' library cards. Good Lord. Okay. I want to thank everybody who took the time to comment on the last episode. I want to thank Quilt and Jenny, who understood exactly what I meant about camping and wanting to be airlifted out of any campsite I might be forced to spend the night in. I want to say thanks to Terry and Oklahoma Mom. They had some nice comments about the picture of the compost, our little compost bucket that we have, that the man took a picture. It was my idea because, quite frankly, I saw that. That is beautiful. But the man composed it and made it a quite lovely photograph. And Oklahoma Mom said, my cousin told me when she moves, she is taking her soil with her. And I totally get that. We have worked really hard to make a lot of compost and to really make our dirt good. And that's, we'll never leave this house, or we won't leave for a long time. And if we do, we may bulldoze the dirt. Heard from Jane, a.k.a. Mom. That would be my mom. And she also liked the picture of the compost. Heard from Kelly the Fifth, Tammy in Denver, Sherry D. Walker Lady, who said, can't wait to see the wall-hanging quilt you make from the still life, which is actually a really brilliant idea. I might just do it, but not for a while. And I heard from Jay, and I really appreciate everyone taking the time to leave me a comment, to say hi. Please do. Pop me an email. It's fdal@nc.rr.com. You'll notice I didn't do a quilt diary this week. It's because of what Danielle was talking about. Just everything. I'm just behind. I'm behind all the time this year. Don't you think some years are like that? Or that some? I think every year kind of has its thing. Now, I'm not an astrology person, but But I do think it's kind of weird. And sometimes you think, well, have things aligned in a certain way? Do you feel this year like you're more behind? Or, and not in necessarily a panicky way, but you keep thinking, oh, just as soon as I round this bend, then everything's going to clear up and I'm going to have some time. And you never get around the bend, or you get around the bend and it's like there's big piles of junk around the bend that you have to deal with. I feel that way this year. I do. So that means that by the time, so yesterday I was thinking, oh, I should do a quilt diary. And it's like, it's Wednesday. You know, if you're going to do quilt diaries, you really need to start Saturday or Sunday. That's okay. I hope this isn't too rambly. It's me, so it's going to be rambly. But email me. Leave comment over at theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com or else my Podbean site, which is offkilterquilt.podbean.com. I read all comments. I love all comments. And I appreciate, again, you taking the time to comment. I hope you have a good week. Try to carve out some time to do your quilting work. I know if you're like me, it's been hard lately, but let's do it. Don't put too much pressure on yourself, but a little pressure is good because we feel so good when we finish what we started. Talk to you next week.